Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to be with you this morning. Thank you, children, for being very good. And bye-bye. If any of you want to escape and follow Mark's instructions earlier on, that maybe it'd be better to be elsewhere, then feel free. But I've been asked to speak a little bit into this idea of vision. You've heard what the vision of this church is. I think it's in some ways a great gift to this church that the vision is so clear, so simple, such a clear geographical area that you're trying to reach. I think that's a wonderful gift to you all because it can avoid a lot of the confusions that could come if it was another way. But vision is also something that's complicated and big and scary. So what is vision and how do you approach it? How does it actually affect you on a day-to-day basis? How do you make decisions based on it? I heard someone, a pastor in the US, describe vision as the gap between here and there. Wherever your there is, wherever you're trying to get to, compared with where you are now, vision is the gap. Vision is the bit that gets you from here to there. For you, there is the people of Newfield Road and Newfield Gardens coming to know Jesus, beginning that relationship with him, this community being transformed because of the love of Jesus and because of the gospel. That's what there looks like. Here, well, you're far more familiar with what here looks like than I am. You know what this church is like now. You know what you're like now. You know what this community is like now. There's a gap, though, between here and there. And that gap is the purpose of this whole vision that you've been talked through this morning and that's been talked about many, many times here. I remember that November, was it November the 15th? No, November 8th. Some 11th. Let's say 11th. No, the November 2015, the away day that you had and that I was speaking at. I remember that, and I remember the excitement. I remember the way that you were captured with this idea of a new thing, a new field, a new church. So, how are we doing? How are we doing in getting there? How can we make sure we continue along that journey? Well, I want to say a few things about what it means to be people of vision, people who are captured by vision. And I want to do it using those words in Habakkuk, the ones which Malcolm shared with your elders and which I want to preach from this morning. So it's in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, which Mark read, but I want to read again. And we're going to look at a few other parts of Habakkuk as well. But they say this, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, that's God, will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Habakkuk was standing between here and there. He knew that there was a there that he wanted to get to, but the here was very confusing and he couldn't see a way forward. For Habakkuk, he was part of the nation of Israel, and he'd seen the northern kingdom of Israel be held captive by the Assyrians, having the Assyrians come and mingling and changing the whole nation. But he was also standing on the cusp of the southern kingdom being taken away to Babylon. So his people, the people he was living amongst, he could see something was about to happen. Something bad was happening. There was a danger. He could see the Babylonians coming and taking all the different neighboring countries away. And he could see that was in Israel's future. And it was confusing. Because that wasn't God's plan for the world, was it? That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't the vision that had been given. The vision that had been given to Israel was that they were going to be a nation that transformed the world, not a nation that would be taken over by the world. It was confusing. He didn't understand here, and he couldn't see how to get there. But in this passage, we see something important about vision. We see something important about being a person who is captured by God's vision. There are three things I want to say about being people of vision this morning, learning lessons from Habakkuk. One is that being a person of vision is not being passive, it's being active. It's not being someone who sits back and waits for things to happen. It's someone who presses forward, Someone who is active, someone who has an urgency about the vision that God has called you to. These things that you've had explained again this morning, it's about taking hold of them and being active about them. For Habakkuk, just to flick quickly through the book of Habakkuk, in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, Habakkuk cries out to God. He says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save?" He can see his people being taken over. He can see his people being treated violently. And he's saying to God, "Why? How long is this going to happen? What's going on?" He's not just sitting there and thinking, "Well, God's vision's going to happen, so I'll just sort of sit around and see what happens." He's questioning God. He's saying, "What's going on?" He's trying to understand. He's trying to work out what he needs to do in order to get from here to there. There's a sense of urgency for him. We get that in the main passage we're looking at. In chapter 2, verse 1, "I will stand at my watch. I will look to see what God will say." There's this idea that he is standing there and he is expecting to know what's going to happen. He's not just waiting and looking on. When we're people of vision, there are no onlookers. In a church community, there should be no bystanders. Are we for it? Are we behind it? Are we part of it? Or are we going to sit back and maybe look, and when things go wrong, we'll point those things out? How urgent are you for this community? How urgent is your desire for Newfield Road and Newfield Gardens? If God has said that there's going to be a fresh field, that there's going to be something new, that there's going to be growth and fruit, if that's what God has said, and as a church you believe it is, I believe it is, then how often do you wake up in the morning and get down on your knees and go, "How long, Lord, before we see this happen? How long before we start to see families and people in this community come to know you in a deeper way? How long? How urgent is your desire for this vision to come to pass? There's a difference between believing something and wanting it. I used to be a fan, still am, of a television programme. It's finished now. It's called Lost. Anyone see it? Yeah? Anyone a fan? Anyone happy with the ending? I was. Most people weren't. But when I was at university, I studied theology at university, and I was doing an essay all about Christ's return, about him coming back and restoring the whole world, making everything perfect. And I was reading about this, and I was thinking about it, and I was writing this essay. And I found myself thinking, that's going to be incredible. It's going to be amazing when Jesus comes back. But then the next part of my thinking caught me off guard. I'm ashamed to admit that I found myself thinking, but I really hope he doesn't come back until Lost is finished, because I really want to see how it ends. Awful. Awful that I thought that. I'm just being honest with you. Yeah, I believe Jesus was going to come back. I believe that the glory of God was going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We'll read those verses. They're from Habakkuk as well. I believed it. I thought it was good. But it wasn't my priority. There was something I was actually far more captured by at the time. And as much as I share that, and it's funny, I needed to do some work of repentance on that, because it showed something wrong about me. How urgent are we that God would do the things he said he's going to do? How active are we willing to be in participating in them? Or are there actually other things that matter to us more? Are there things that really we're just going to sort of sit back and do our own thing and then watch and wait? How willing are we to wrestle with God? The way that Habakkuk is structured is that Habakkuk cries out to God, and he kind of almost accuses God. "How long, O Lord? Why aren't you doing anything?" And then God responds in chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. God responds, and he responds and he says what he's going to do. And then Habakkuk comes back and says, "Yeah, but why are you going to do those things?" And then God responds again. And there's this back and forth between Habakkuk and God. And then at the end, Habakkuk prays and expresses trust in God. How willing are you to go on that journey? To have that wrestling match with God? To say to him, "I don't understand. Why aren't you doing something different?" Not because you're saying you know better than God, but because you want to understand God. And how willing are you to listen back to that voice? This is a partnership. But it's not a partnership of just quietly ignoring one another. It's a partnership of wrestling with one another. And then ultimately expressing trust. Vision, being people of vision, is about being active not passive, not just letting things tick over, but taking your place and doing your part. Second thing about being people of vision. Being people of vision means allowing God to do things his way, not our way. He gets to decide not just what the vision is, but how it's going to come to pass, how it's going to happen. Chapter 1, verse 6, this is God responding to Habakkuk. He says, I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Goes on and on about how difficult these people are, how hard what they're going to do to Israel is going to be. And yet God's the one who's saying, I'm raising them up. Because God's purpose was for the whole world to be transformed. God's purpose was for Israel to be his people, to be his light shining into the world. Israel hadn't done a very good job of that. Was God saying, well, in that case, I'm ignoring them, I'm giving up on them, and I'm going to choose Babylon instead? No, he's not. He's doing something far more complex that will lead to Israel coming back to him in repentance, being restored, not outwardly to being the impressive nation that they'd been, but inwardly, people coming back to him, choosing to rely on him and trust him again. Ultimately, Jesus coming into that and transforming everything. This is part of the plan, but it's not a part of the plan that the people were expecting. It's not a part of the plan that the people wanted. God's way of doing things was very different from the way that he had hoped they would do things. What's God's vision for Newfield Community Church? In some ways, we know the answer to that. We know that it is to reach this community, for us to be, for you as a church to be known by God, to be transformed by God, and then to reach this community and your own communities in his name and with him and by his spirit. That is the vision. How does that work? What does that look like? Don't be too narrow in your assumption of how that's going to be. Don't put God in a box and say, well, this is how we've done things before, so this is how it's got to look. This is what outreach looks like. This is what mission looks like. I know that. I've been a Christian for quite a while. Instead, what if God wants to do something different? Not just a new field, not just a new harvest, but a completely new way of harvesting. What if God wants to do something different, unimaginable, something you've never seen before? I remember at that November meeting in 2015, I was talking about the church as the body of Christ. And one of the things that I warned you about, I've got to actually say, you've listened to. And you've done well on this. Because one of the things I spoke about was hobby horses. And everyone having their own thing. Everyone having their own passion. Everyone having, whether it's a theological hobby horse or a social hobby horse or a particular project or program or whatever it was. And I think the language I used was that Newfield Community Church, which at the time didn't exist but was about to, I said, Newfield Community Church is not just a bucket for you to put your own desires and your own grievances and your own hobby horses into, and then to try and make the whole church do that. That's not going to work. Keep it simple. Don't try and make this everything that you want the church to be. Ask, what does God want the church to be? I've got to say, I want to thank you and honour you, because I have seen you as a church and your leaders, who I think are doing a fantastic job, keeping this church focused. We're not going to run off after this and run off after that. We're going to focus. We're going to keep it simple. I think that's a good thing. Because when you overcomplicate things, or when you decide that you've got lots of big and clever and fancy ideas, there's a danger that you end up running on your own wisdom and not on God's. For Habakkuk, the things that God was saying he was going to do were unimaginable. They were unthinkable. They seemed crazy. They seemed foolish and stupid, but they were God's plans. They were God's purposes. Being a people of vision is about being active, not passive, but it's also about being people who are willing to go God's way, not your own way. The church is an oddity. Not this church specifically, although looking around, but the church is the only organization in the world that exists for the benefit of non-members. It exists for the benefit of those who aren't part of it. So the church is already different from any other organisation in the world. How are you going to behave differently from every other organisation in the world? Another question. If Newfield Community Church vanished overnight, if you just disappeared, were plucked from this place, how much would the community around notice? What would the difference be? Those are the sorts of questions to be grappling with. I think the answer is that you would be missed. There would be things that the community would go, oh, why don't we have that anymore? This place feels different. This place doesn't feel as good anymore. I think you would be missed. Part of your purpose, part of your vision is to make sure you would be missed as much as possible. Not because you've built an empire that you want everyone to think you're impressive, but because if you are the vessel and the conduit for Jesus to be known in this community, then you should be missable. But you'll only be that if you choose to go God's way, if you choose to do the things that he wants you to do, not just the things that you think sound like a good idea. So being people of vision is about not being passive, but being active, not being people who want to do things your way, but happy to do things God's way. Final thing I want to say about vision is that vision is hard. Living in that tension, knowing that you're here, but wanting to be there, I'll let you in on a secret. You never really reach there until we're in heaven, which means there's always going to be more vision. Sometimes we can think about sort of churches or organizations might think about a 5-year vision plan. And that's good. It can help. And we sort of, the aim is that by the end of those 5 years, you've actually got to the point that you said you're going to be. But that's not job done. We finally made it. Because at that point, you need the next 5 years. And then you need the next 5 years. Part of this being people of vision means always choosing to be dissatisfied with where you are so that you can get somewhere else. Always choosing to have that wrestling match with God because you recognize that there's more to be done. There's more in his plans and in his purposes. That can be very frustrating. It can be very difficult. Far easier to sit around and go, oh, good, we've got it sorted. We're the perfect church. Wonderful. The minute you step into that, the minute you find yourself thinking that, you're dead. The minute that as a church you think, we don't need to change. We don't need to do anything different. You're dead. One of the things that Malcolm often says about leading Gold Hill is that the minute he feels comfortable at Gold Hill is the minute he needs to leave. Because you can't lead someone. You can't lead a group of people. You can't lead a church. You can't be part of a church and make a difference within a church community or within this geographical community if you think everything's fine. Because part of leadership is helping people to recognize that here isn't good enough. Part of being part of a church that's trying to do something is thinking, here isn't good enough. I'll never be able to. Your elders will never be able to convince you that you need to get there unless we can first convince you that here isn't a place worth staying. That's a good thing to do. It's a good place to be, but it's also a frustrating place to be because it means that you never can just sit back and put up your feet and go, okay, we can take it easy. There's always going to be more to be done. Living in that in-between time. Living in between here and there can be frustrating. You can think, why aren't we there yet? Final thing I want to say about being people of vision is that it's about being people of hope, not people of despair. People of hope, not despair, because if God has said something will happen, it will happen. The verses we're looking at, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord replied, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that someone, a herald, may run with it. He's saying, tell them what you've told them. Tell people what my vision is for them as a people. Not because I haven't told you before, but because you need to be reminded. Tell them. But then God carries on. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. God is saying, this is in my timing. It will happen. I've told you that you will be restored. I've told you that I will fight for my people. I've told you that there is a Messiah who is coming. I've told you these things. And they will happen. Maybe not as fast as you want. But there's a reason for that. What's the reason? You don't need to know. But there is one. We can be people of hope because we can be people of certainty. And hope is living with the certainty that what God has said will happen is going to happen, even though we can't see it happening. That's what hope is all about. Ultimately, everything will come good. Habakkuk 2:14. In the middle of this big passage about the difficulties that are coming and the fact that things are hard and the fact that this is going to be a journey which is difficult and the Babylonians are going to be hard and Israel's going to face hardship, bang in the middle of that, chapter 2, verse 14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Yes, things are going to get harder before they get better, Habakkuk is told. Yes, the people are going to be taken away. Yes, strife is going to increase before it decreases, but there will be a day when everything is put right, when all that people can see is the goodness of God and the glory of God. God wants to use you to reach this community. He wants to use you to transform this community. That's not always going to be easy. There will be setbacks, there will be frustrations, there will be confusions, but there will be a day when not just this community, but the whole earth is filled with nothing but the knowledge of the glory of God. All people will know who he is. All people will worship him. That is a sure and a certain future, which means you can have hope. After all of this wrestling with God, after all of this back and forth and how long, O Lord, and why, Lord, and please don't do that, Lord, and yes, I am going to do that, Habakkuk. After all of this back and forth, Habakkuk prays. And he prays expressing trust and faith in God. He recognizes that God is bigger than him. He recognizes that God's plans are better than his plans. He still doesn't understand. He still sees pain in his future and in his present. But in chapter 3, verse 17, he's able to say this. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. In other words, even though nothing is going right, even though everything is falling apart, I will trust God. That's what it means to be a person of vision. A person who believes not just in what you can see, not just in what is already happening here, but in what you know is going to be true, in what you know is real there. That's what being a person of vision is about. It's about having hope. It's about choosing to believe God's story, not just the story that you can see or the story that you can tell. This is what being a community full of vision looks like. It's exciting. It's choosing to believe the end of the story before you can see it. It's choosing to believe that what you need to do is just to take the next step, because God will then lead you for the one after that. It's choosing not just to sit back and hope things might happen, because someone else will do it. But are you willing to commit to this vision? Are you willing to say, yes, I'm part of this community. I'm part of this church family, which means I'm going to throw myself into it. The vision of this church will never be met if it's just the leadership that believe in it. The vision of this church will never be met unless this church captures it and is excited by it. I think you are. I think you are those people. I think you need to keep reminding yourself to be those people. The words that Lou shared about half-hearted commitment. Don't be those people. Daily, throw yourself again on the grace of God. Daily, ask him, seek him for this community, for these people that he wants to work with you to reach. Don't be passive. Don't always do things your own way. And don't despair when things are tough. Be active. Go God's way. And be a people full of hope. Because God has got it in his hand. God's holding there and here, both in his hands at once. And he wants to lead you from one to the other. Can I pray for you? Yes. I would love to. Father God, I thank you for this church family. I thank you that you have birthed them. I thank you that you have nurtured them. I want to thank you for their leaders. I want to thank you for Coral and for David and for Kat and for Mark. I want to thank you for their leadership, for their eldership, for their wisdom, for their unending and unceasing love for this church family. Before you, I honour them for their sacrifice, for their commitment, for their hard work, and for their vision. And I ask you would set this church on fire again with the vision you have for them. That there would be a re-energizing. That they would keep telling one another the story of what you're doing and what you're going to do. That they would be excited. That they would have hope. Give them the faith to see things that don't exist yet. To have ideas that aren't their own, but are yours. Father, I pray for Newfield Road and for Newfield Gardens. Transform them, I pray. Open doors that have been closed for a very long time. Flood this place with your love. I pray that you would help this church to understand the community that it's part of. Not just to have ideas about what it might be like, but to know this community, to know its heartbeat. I pray that you would enable the heartbeat of this church to beat in time with the community it's part of, and to beat in time with yours, and that as those two things come together, this community would recognize that your heart is beating for them. Father, have your way in this church, in this area, and in each of our hearts and lives, I pray. Help each of us to be people of your vision. In the name of Jesus. Amen.